Saga Egmont presents Moonlight on the Thames by Lauren Westwood and read by Victoria Blunt. Part 1. Snow fell in the garden of the Tsar, turning everything to a pure, pristine white. Would she come again? Young Ivan pulled his fur coat over his mouth, masking the telltale cloud of his breath as he hid behind the fountain, its waters frozen in a brittle cascade of ice. He'd been waiting for hours, and now the cold lay heavy on his eyelids, and sleep stretched out her arms to draw him near. But just then, the soothing howls of the north wind drew silent. 1 second, two, and then he heard another sound, faint in the distance and yet drawing nearer. A beating of wings. The firebird swooped down over the wall, making for the one tree that still bore fruit. Her flaming feathers singed his brow, but he couldn't look away. She grabbed the golden apple hanging from the branch and hurtled herself skyward, her wings flapping desperately against the bitter chill that threatened to bind her to earth. And as she disappeared into the sky, from above him, a single golden feather danced playfully to the ground. Ivan gazed upon it, transfixed. It sizzled and flared as it settled on the snow. He reached out to touch it, but already it had faded to a black cinder. The Firebird, the Anthology of Russian Tales. Chapter 1. 1st of December. Waterloo Station, London. She wasn't meant to be here. That was the worst thing. She should be sitting in a plush velvet seat at the bar, sipping a champagne cocktail, feeling a growing frisson as the minutes ticked by, enjoying that little spark of tension, not knowing exactly when he would arrive. Nicola winced as she stepped onto the escalator, her shin colliding with a fold-up bike. Though rush hour was over, the escalator from the underground to the main station was packed solid on both sides. A crush of bodies, swinging rucksacks, surreptitious jostling and pushing. At the top of the escalator there was a pile-up, and the tip of her stiletto heel almost got caught in the moving metal. With an almighty lurch into the man in front of her, she came onto stable ground. Her phone buzzed in the pocket of her coat with an incoming text. She retrieved it, hope rekindling inside her. Maybe he'd changed his mind. He was texting to say that he was on his way to the little hotel on Charlotte Street that was their place. She pictured him, walking in, wearing his smart suit and black cashmere overcoat, his hair combed, his face clean-shaven, a hint of cologne. Polished and perfect, ready for her to dishevel, deconstruct. Teasing her, pretending to look at other women, but in the end, his eyes locking only on her. Damn, Ollie. As she drifted along with the other commuters towards her usual platform, Nicola opened her messages. The new one was from Chrissy, her PA, reminding the department that Friday was Christmas Jumper Day. She deleted it and opened the texts from Ollie in case she'd missed one. There were work texts, flirty texts, downright shocking texts, texts that had once made her fizz with the anticipation of seeing him again. And the last text. Sorry, Nick. Duty calls. Can't make it tonight. Oh. Kiss. Nicola put away her phone. It was fine. Really? It would have to be. She made a plan. On the fast train, she'd be home in 30 minutes, turn off her phone, kick off her shoes, have a long soak in the bathtub, a glass of wine, or two. I am sorry to announce that the 1920 Southwestern Railway service to Reading via Richmond is cancelled. The announcement droned on. Nicola stopped moving.